Now, some of the scriptures that we've been over and over and over, we're not going to turn to them this morning. We're going to let Zach put them up on the board to save time, because I have two pages I need to get to. And if we don't, Lord allows us, we'll finish up next week. Zach, go ahead and put up our Mark 9:23. All of us probably should know this by heart now. We've read it so many times already. But the story to back this back up a little bit was the guy that had the epileptic son. Brought his son to Jesus' disciples. They couldn't cast him out. He brought him to Jesus and said, if you can help us, you know, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. And Jesus put it back on the man, and he said, if you can believe, he said, what? All things are, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. One of the reasons why we keep going over these couple of scriptures is because how many knows, if you don't believe you can, most of the time you won't even try. I know there's been a lot of people that has worked for Scotty over the years that actually when they found out where he bought doors and different things like that, and he taught them how to, it's getting better already, can you tell? He taught them how to install garage doors and all that. They some of them tried to go behind his back and start their own garage door business. But it didn't work out. Number one, Scotty's called to the garage door business by God. Therefore, he has the grace of God and the favor of God. But sometimes people want to do things, but they don't believe they can, so they never even try. But the Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. Zach, put up Philippians 4:13 for us, please. He says, I can do, and this is Apostle Paul talking, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We're not looking to do this stuff in ourselves and our own ability. You know, you might have a little bit of willpower or some things, but we're not talking about that this morning. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is our comforter. He's our strengthener. He's our helper. He's our standby, right? But he says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Put up 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, we've heard this, you know, before, where people says God won't put any more on you than what you can bear. The scripture says it. That's not what that verse said. It didn't say God was doing it right. If God's doing something in my life, I sure don't want to resist it in any way. But he says with every temptation, he says that God is the one, he's faithful, he'll not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able to bear. If something's in the ring with you, you can take it. If you couldn't, he wouldn't be there. Now, I wrote this down, and I put, repentance means I could have made a different choice. If I couldn't have made a different choice, then God is unjust to require me to repent, right? If he requires repentance when he says that I have done wrong or whatever, then that means I could have made a different choice. You'll hear people out there that say, I can't help it. How many knows that's a lie? We've done been over this. This is 6 times already. Because why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do whatever I believe that he says that I can do and I can be and all that. So therefore, there's no donut that's irresistible. Right? There's no man or woman that is irresistible. You hear people, you know, say something like, especially, well, it used to be guys, now I think it's girls just as much as guys or whatever, that it was a big thing, you know, to have relations with however many women that you could, you know, and if you seen a good-looking woman, well, it was just bigger than me. You're telling me that if she you could be with her, you wouldn't? How many knows a spiritual man won't? But a carnal man that yields to the flesh, he just can't help himself, he says. That's a lie. We can help ourselves. We are today a result of our choices of yesterday. That's a hard one to hear sometimes. I am as big as I am for the result of my choices for yesterday and the day before and the day before. You are financially wherever you are as the result of your choices, right? So my choices matter. Now let's look at, I know we've read this one already, but let's read it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We said before that we have to be brutally honest with ourselves. Amen? Doesn't feel good, but how many knows? One of the first things they do when you go to like Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that, they have you say, hey, my name is Ted and I'm an alcoholic. See, there's some people, they'll use the excuse, they'll say, I can quit anytime I want to. Well, can you now? Just go ahead and do it. Well, I don't want to. Well, see, that's the problem. Oh, maybe it's going to be one of them. Where is Thessalonians? I forgot. Right before what? Gosh, Monty, I'm in Philemon over here. Oh, my goodness. It's a good thing I got y'all to help me on. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. He says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to what? Possess what? His vessel. How? In sanctification and honor. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. He says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now verse 2 in the Amplified, it says, But though we had already suffered and been outrageously treated at Philippi, as you know, yet in the strength of our God... No, that's the wrong one. I went too far, sorry. He says, for you know what charges and precepts that we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each one of you should know how to possess. The word possess there means to control, manage his own body in consecration, which is purity separated from things profane and honor. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 6. Like smoking the bandit again today. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves will mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient for me, or in other words, they're not good for me. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's what we're talking about in overcoming the flesh. He says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Who's the body for? The Lord. He says, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He says, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, he says, which are God's. A lot of times we just like to talk about what we think is spiritual things, you know, spiritual matters. But he says here that God owns us spirit, soul, and body. There's not a part of us that God doesn't own. And the thing about, we talked about how that the scripture says, you know, natural bodily exercise profits a little. Don't say it don't profit none. He says, but exercise ourselves to godliness. It profits everything. Why? Because the stronger I am in my spirit and the Holy Spirit helping me, he can enforce my will, change my desires, all kinds of things to where it even comes out over into my natural things, right? Now, we talked about a lot of this already. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. So he says, glorify God in our bodies. Now, I've said this before. I don't know of a scripture that says, thou shalt not smoke Marlboroth or Cameleth or Salemeth or whatever they got out there, you know, or anything. I don't know of a scripture that says that. But how many knows this one here would take care of that? Because I told you already, if I can drink a case of beer and it bring glory to God, then do it. If I can't, then I need to not do it, right? Whatever brings glory and honor to in my life to the Lord, then that's the thing that I need to do. But anything in my life that is not bringing glory and honor to God, I need to stop. I may not can stop by myself. He's going to have to help me. He's going to have to strengthen me. But how many knows if I asked you to come over to my house and help me move furniture, and you get over there and I'm sitting there drinking sweet tea, how are you going to help me move furniture? You come to help me, right? Not do it for me. Now you ask me over there to invite me over to help you move furniture and you're drinking sweet tea, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to drink sweet tea with you. Why? You asked me to come help you. That's the same thing as the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's not to do it for us. If we make the choice, he's right there to back us up, to help us, to strengthen us, whatever it is that we need him to do. But how many knows, we must be moving the furniture, so to speak. A lot of us, that we don't like to talk about that. Why? Because that puts something on us. But here, you know what I tell you, 1 Corinthians 9. I need to get over there. For time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse, that one? Oh, that's right, 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now the Amplified Bible says this, now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperate and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. But like a boxer I buffet, and I told you that word buffet is spelled the same way as buffet at the Chinese restaurant. So we don't need to get it mixed up. He says, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, that I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. And I have a Bible here. It's got, I think, four or five different translations in it. I want to read you what it says about that verse there. Yeah, those few verses. This is the Living Bible. It says, in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight toward the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. This is the Revised Standard Version. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete? But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the New English Version. He says, you know, do you not, that at the sports all the runners run the race, though only one wins the prize. Like them, run to win. But every athlete goes into strict training. They do it to win a fading wreath, we a wreath that never fades. For my part, I run with a clear goal before me. I am like a boxer who does not beat the air. I bruise my own body and make it know its master, for fear that after preaching to others, I should myself be rejected. This is the Phillips Modern Translation. He says, do you remember how on a racing track every competitor runs, but only one wins the prize? Well, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. Every competitor in athletic events goes into serious training. Athletes will take tremendous pains for a fading crown of leaves, but our contest is for a crown that will never fade. I run the race with determination. I am no shadow boxer. I really fight. I am my body's sternest master, for fear that when I have preached to others, I should myself be disqualified. This is Jerusalem Bible. He says, all the runners at the same stadium are trying to win, but only one of them gets the prize. You must run it in the same way, meaning to win. All the fighters at the games go into strict training. They do this just to win a wreath that will wither away. But we do it for a wreath that will never wither. That is how I run, intent on winning. That is how I fight, not beating the air. I treat my body hard and make it obey me. For having been an announcer myself, I should not be disqualified, so that I should not be disqualified. Why do I read all them? Because if you don't get it the first time, you had seven different chances there to get it. Why? This is very important. See, a lot of times as Christians, especially nowadays, the ones that I see, especially a lot of the younger that have just come into the kingdom a few years or whatever, and you got your old-time Christians, you know, that to some of them, everything was sin. I mean everything. And how many knows that's not right? There's things in our lives, let's get in my voice. There's things in our lives that may not necessarily be sin, but the Bible talks, and just like he talked, it's a weight. It's a hindrance. We need to do away with it, just like he says a runner there. I told you before, you know, our race, being born again and serving the Lord, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's from the time I get born again to the time that I leave here. So that could be many, 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 many years. But he says there that everyone that competes, he says, they go into strict discipline. Y'all have seen a marathon before, right? They may start out jogging. Then the next thing, they transition to bicycle. Then the next thing, they get off of that and they put their little caps on and they get in the water and they swim so many miles. Now, almost every one of those that I know, they have shaved every part of their body. Why? They don't want one hair slowing them down in that water. And that's why they put them little caps on. It's not just to keep their hair from getting messed up. Y'all not saying nothing. That's what he's saying here. Every one of them, they'll put their bodies every day. They don't have time to sleep late. They don't have time to not go to the gym. They are up early, and they stay up until they get the job done, and they go to bed early. They make sure they get plenty of rest. Oh, I'm not talking to those Christians that didn't go to church this morning, am I? Them kind that stayed up too late last night watching TV, I understand. It was after 1 before I got to sleep this morning. I try to get to sleep earlier than that. That's just what it was. But how many knows we've got Christians all over the place this morning, not just talking about here, all over the world, that they won't go to church this morning because they stayed up too late last night with their little flesh eating donuts and watching too much TV. But then they want to come to church later and tell us all the problems we're having. We should take up 30 minutes of a prayer time for them. Y'all not saying nothing. Why is that problem? Nothing more than yielding to the flesh. That's all that whole problem is. But we like to blame it on the devil, and we like to blame it on our neighbor, our husband, or our wife. But he says here, all of these athletes that are going to run, they do it to win the prize. He said, and that is their goal. Like Proverbs 4, they're not looking to the left, they're not looking to the right. Their eyes are focused straight ahead like they got on blinders. So they do whatever they need to do. They don't eat anything they want to eat. Do y'all think they just want to eat that stuff they eat all the time? I can just imagine. I don't want to eat it none of the time. All the fruits and the vegetables and the lean meats and different things like that, if any of them even eat meat, you know. But why are they doing? Because they have a goal. Why are Christians laying in the bed this morning? Because they don't have no goal. They think this thing is, I got born again, me and Jesus, we're okay. There's nothing I have to do. God would not want me to deny myself anything that I want. How many knows that's not scriptural? Now you got your old time Christians that some of them, they was overboard. Everything was sin. But one of the things that I'm seeing today that has already creeped into the church, and I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about worldwide, that it is this, me and Jesus got it all worked out, and I can live just like everybody else, and I'm still a good Christian. I didn't know there was bad ones, Johnny. I didn't find that in the scripture, did you? No. So I can be a good Christian and I don't have to go to church. So what you're saying is, because the Bible don't say there's good and bad ones. The Bible says there are those Christians that are full of the Holy Ghost. Their lives are controlled by the Holy Ghost. Right? And then there are carnal, fleshly, led by the devil in the flesh Christians. So there is no good or bad. It's just those two right there. And they're still Christians, but the only difference is one is full of the Holy Ghost and their life is controlled and led by the Spirit of God. They yield to Him. The other one, they're led by the flesh, whatever they think, whatever they feel, whatever they want to do. It don't matter. Everything in my life matters. We read that. He owns my spirit. He owns my body. What else is there left, Johnny? He owns everything, right? So you mean, so you'll hear him say, well, I believe I can be a good Christian and not go to church. Well, my question is not whether or not you can be a good Christian and not go to church. My question is, if you are the good Christian you say you are, why would you not want to go? You're telling me the Holy Spirit leads all of us to go to church, but you to stay home? God, we got to get off of this church thing. Y'all were at church, right? Scotty kept saying that one time, and I told him, I said, listen, I'm getting tired of hearing that. I'm at church. Every time the door's open, I'm at church, and I'm getting tired of hearing that. But see, we got Facebook and all this other stuff. So this part's not for y'all, right? Because y'all here. This is for all of those that will get up and hear it later at about 12 o'clock. Whew. But notice what he says there. He says, I restrict myself. I discipline myself. I don't know about y'all, but the word disciple comes from the word discipline. And the Bible says we're called to be disciples, not converts. What does that mean? It means a disciple is going to discipline himself. Why? Because if not, the flesh is going to rule you, and for a lot of things, it's going to disqualify you. Sure, you might still make heaven. I mean, I don't know, depending on what you do, I guess, or whatever. But you might make heaven, but you're going to get there and see all the things that God had for you to do. All the ministry. There's some people, they say they're called to preach, and they preach nowhere. I thought you was called to preach. I am. We'll be doing it then. Well, I don't have a pulpit. Who said you needed one? Listen, there's jail after jail after jail. There's nursing home after nursing home after nursing home. There's red light after red light. The only one here. You'll have to go to Oneonta or Birmingham somewhere if you're going to find you another red light. But who knows? It's got four corners. You can have four preachers out there. So if that's what he's called you to do, do you know you're going to be responsible for whether you did that or not? And all the souls and the lives that would have been changed by you ministering the word of God, you will not get credit for that. Somebody else will. Why? Because God's going to have somebody that goes and ministers to them. Just like when God called Scotty to go on the street. He's out there fixing things up and all that to go on the street to minister down there in Oneonta. Guy pulls up and says, what are you doing? Y'all remember the story, right? He says, well, the Lord's told me to come out here on the street and preach the gospel. He said he told me to do that. Well, do you think God's just going to wait forever? See, that's the thing that a lot of Christians have nowadays. I'm not for God. God's for me. God's kind of like my little genie in the bottle. Whatever I want. How many knows that's not right? He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and do what? Follow me. He doesn't follow me, I follow him. Now let's look here in get my glasses on here. Philippians 3. Since he's talking about the prize there. Any of y'all remember a scripture that talks about a prize in another place? That's it, Johnny. That's where we're going. See, some people think the prize is money. The prize is not money. Does God want us to have money? Absolutely. God needs us to have money. Why? And money is the currency here in the earth. Now, if we don't have it, can he do a miracle? Sure he can. But if we need to buy another building, most of the time you're going to use money to do that. God wants his people blessed, but it's not just for us. You understand? If you're the water hose that lets the water flow through, you're going to get wet. But the destination for the water is not you. See, we like to quote that scripture too, where it talks about how the wealth of the wicked is going to be laid up for the righteous. It's going to be turned over in the last day. Not to everybody. Why? That money has a purpose. And the purpose is not just to make me comfortable. There's coming a last day harvest that all the churches in the world right now won't hold them. All the TV programs and all the different things and ministries and all that, right now it's not enough of them. Do you understand? So that money has a purpose. So that money is only... You really think God's going to give his money to somebody that's not been a good steward with their own money? No, the scripture says he won't. Right? So that money's only going to be coming to those who have already been obeying God with it. The tither, the giver, the ones that pays their bills on time. Oh, good Lord, did I say that one? So we got Christians today that it's okay. We led of the Lord all of a sudden to make 600 easy payments of $1,000 a month. We think they're easy, don't we, till we get started? And God is all into this. God's leading me. Then we get a little bit further down the road, and now we feel like it's okay to be late. If it tears up, it's okay not to pay for. Y'all not saying nothing. See, that wasn't in the contract, was it, that I signed that if it tears up, if I run it hot or I run it out of oil or something or I wreck it, I don't have to pay for it? See, this stuff's not okay. See, we don't realize it a lot of times, but that affects my spiritual life. That affects my financial life. Why? You can't be doing people wrong all the time and think you're going to be receiving blessing from the Lord. It don't happen. The blessing is on the life of Christ in us and working through us. Right? So therefore, it's not okay as Christians not to pay our bills. There's some people in the world, they're never late on their bills. And you're telling me us as Christians, we can't be as good or even better? Do you realize because we say, most of the time I don't tell myself, people I'm a Christian. Just see it. If you see it, good. You know, you ever been around somebody and you think, I bet you they're a Christian. Just, they don't have to say nothing. There's just something about them. Well, then you got others, just like them. They went to rent a house. Y'all remember the story. They went to rent a house or whatever, and they told them they was Christians or whatever, and the lady's like, that don't really mean a lot to me. Why? Because they live just like the world. The Bible says we're not called to live like the world. The Bible says we're called to come out from among the world, right? Touch not the unclean thing, and he will receive us, and he'll be our God, and we'll be his people. Now, I know he was talking to the children of Israel. Do you realize that quote is in the New Testament, too? Y'all getting me going too fast. Y'all like y'all didn't do it, huh? But yeah, it's not okay for us not to pay our bills. It's not okay for us to tell people we'll do something and then not do it. Sometimes maybe you can't, you meant to, but how many know you can call, you can apologize, whatever it is that you need to do. Where'd I tell y'all to go? I done forgot now. Oh yeah, Philippians 3. For time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 8, but the things that he talks about before this, he's talking about all the good things. I mean, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had the most training and learning and the strictest sect and all this stuff that he was, you know. He was a Benjamite and circumcised the eighth day and all that stuff. But then verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Most time people like to use this for their past bad. And that's okay. We should forget that too. But how many knows you should forget your past good? He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Don't y'all remember last week we read the verses that talked about counting the cost? That no man, when he starts to build the house, he should have counted the cost, lest he don't have it to build. That's what he's saying here. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. It's going to cost us everything to be a Christian. I'm telling you, we don't hear this much today. It's going to cost us everything. But don't look at that in a bad way, because the Bible says that God will will not withhold any good thing from those who what? Walk upright before Him. So we're not just looking, denying ourselves, you know, have to do without this, can't, you know, Travis, when he was young, I don't know how many of y'all's parents may have told y'all that. He didn't want to go hang out. He didn't want to go stay with his cousins and different things like, oh, Weston, that's all I'm going to say about that. What you laughing for, Beth? Beth tells him, y'all all going to hell. Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, I mean, that's what teenagers want to do, you know, go hang with their friends or pay their people, you know, this, that, and another. You know, me and Scotty, we would tell him, no, son, you're not going there. No, you're not hanging out with them. Not necessarily that they was bad people or whatever. Number one, they wasn't born again. Family or not family. Do you understand? A lot of times family gets you in more trouble than somebody else will. If they wasn't saved, and we would tell them, no, son, they're not going where you're going. They're not going to do what you're going to do. Asked me before, you know, I think curfew was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. He wants to stay out till 12. And that's what everybody else does, you know, come in past 12 now that you're 16 or 17. And I first told him no, and then I told him, I said, well, okay. I said, nothing good happens past 10 o'clock. I know y'all kids don't believe that. I'm telling you, we've been there, we've done that, and got in trouble. So just learn from our wisdom. So, you know, I told him, I said, okay, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Well, they spend a lot of their time at Mamaw's because he works. He's 16. He's got his own job. He's got a truck payment. He's got tithes. And after that, they might be sandwich money for Beth a date. So they spend a lot of time at Mamaw's house. And if he has a little money, they'll go somewhere. So I asked him, I said, okay, what are you going to do? If I made it 12 o'clock, well, he thought about it a minute, Sandy, and then he said, I just leave it like it is. But see, his mind was telling him, I need past 12 o'clock. I need past 12 o'clock. But when he looked at it in reality and began to see, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I just leave it. Besides that, Beth was usually asleep by the time he got her home. Anyway. Long way from that now, ain't you, Beth? Now the girls stay up all night. They're on a date. She's asleep by 8:30. I don't know what all that was about, but anyway. He goes on there and he says, oh yeah, you got to give up everything. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. He says, that I may what? Win Christ. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Do you realize some people are so proud of how good they think they are? Not good. It's not good. He says, which is of the law. He said, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. We don't hear a lot about that today. This is my prize, Sandy, that I may know him. Because when I know him, that's where all my peace is at. That's where all my joy is at. That's where all my fulfillment is at. That's where all my finances are at. Everything in my life, it's in him. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We won't hear that one neither. And we're not suffering sickness and disease, y'all understand? We're not suffering anything we're redeemed from. We're supposed to take authority over those things and resist them. He says, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, this is the Apostle Paul, wrote one third of the New Testament. And he says, not as though I had already attained. And we got Christians walking around like, can't nobody tell me nothing because I already know everything. Are you serious? You may know it in your head, but I can tell you right now, we can see your lifestyle ain't proving it. It's not about what I know in my head. It's what is revelation in my heart and what am I living. See, it's not okay for me to say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You don't know my heart, Johnny. I love Jesus. Well, how many knows if I really love Jesus, according to the Word, he says, those that love me, what? Keep my commandments. If I ain't saying no commandment keeping, I ain't believing love. And whether it's me or you or anybody else. See, we like because we have a feeling. See, I feel like I love Scotty today. But on the way to church this morning, he about ripped me. That this snappy little attitude he gets sometimes, I like to just pop it, you know. But I didn't, and I'm still have not been out of control. A few days ago, he about ripped me again. He's the rippingest man ever saw. But why am I saying that? Because at that second Sandy, I didn't feel no feelings of love. You understand? That's why a lot of people get married. Oh, I love you, baby. We'll see. We'll see. Well, if you love me, you would have sex with me. Really? If you loved me, you wouldn't try to get me to. I'm talking about outside of marriage. Why? Number one, it's against the word. And number two, do you think you're all of that I should just give myself to you? Are you kidding me? You and nobody else is worth that. If you want this, you better pay for it. What do I mean by that? Put a ring on it. Ain't nobody sucking no milk around here. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Oh, I say some of the most hit crazy things, don't I? Y'all hear that, don't you? We better try out the milk before we buy the cow. Well, listen, baby, all you're going to get is the cow until you buy it. Ooh, help us, Jesus. Where are we? How did we get all of that out of Philippians 3 here? I don't know. Help us, Lord. Ooh. Anyway, don't let nobody be getting milk. Where are we at, 14? Not as though I had already attained. And this is the Apostle Paul. Don't you think if somebody might have attained it, he might have? By that time, I mean, do y'all think that Paul was a spiritual man or a carnal man? Led by the flesh. No, he's a spiritual man, led by the Spirit. But he says here, not that as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. We don't have a lot of Christians today that are following after. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, like the scripture we just got through reading, right? That he said over there, I buffet my body. I train my body. I master it. It's going to do what I say. Why? Because I got a prize. He says here, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Y'all know what it is to press, don't you? Y'all ever had something in the floor and you can't get off your seat for some reason, you're buckled up, you're in the truck, whatever it is, and what do? You try to get it. You are straining with everything in you to get it. That's pressing. He says, I press toward the mark, he says, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, what was that, Philippians 3? Go ahead, Zach, and put it up for us so we won't have to take the time to turn there because I think we've already read this one, but we need to go over it right quick. Luke 14, 25 through 33. He says, and there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, talking about Jesus, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Not he won't be a good one, right? I'm a good Christian, but I do this, or I'm a good Christian and I don't do that. That's not what he said. He said, you cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Two times he said, I can't be his disciple in two verses. Now look at, I'll just quote you this one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, I cannot serve two masters. I cannot serve God in the world. Y'all not saying that. I cannot serve God in myself. Why? Because somewhere in my life, even if me and Jesus have had it been like this, there's going to be some time in my life, somewhere in my life, that his will is going to be to do or say or something or other, and my will is going to be something different. How do I know that? Jesus himself, God's will crossed his in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not that he wasn't going to do it, right? But I'm sure he wasn't just jumping up and down to go through that. And he said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will. So how many knows? Some people say, I just can't help it. That's a lie. And see, I can't get free or changed by believing lies. Why? Lies bind up, truth makes free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. So I must believe the truth. I cannot believe lies. So that's a lie that I cannot help it. Now, I might not be fully into it right now, just like forgiveness. I remember, you know, something happened to Scotty that somebody real close to him, he felt it did him really, really bad wrong and all of that. Took him 6 months to come to completed forgiveness. What do I mean by that? To the point to where when he got around the person, it never crossed his mind. He goes fishing with the person. He spends time with the person. Never crosses his mind. But it took him 6 months of praying and putting his hand out. He had to go by their place of business every day going to work. And he'd put his hand out and he would pray for him. Do you really think his flesh wanted to pray for him? No! Your flesh don't ever want to do the will of God. Most people, their flesh don't want to eat a head of lettuce. I said most. There's some, you know. Some weirdos. I'm just kidding. Lettuce is good for you. I'm just kidding, you know. But the thing about it is, if you've ever been on a diet, or you've ever quit doing something, or you ever started exercise, how many knows your flesh didn't want to, but it didn't matter? How come when it comes to serving God, it matters? Y'all not saying nothing. It's not supposed to matter, is it? Then I need to be working on that. I need to change that. I need to be getting help from the Lord. I need to be getting the word on it, right? I need to be getting in his presence, because the Bible says that I'm changed from glory to glory as I behold the Lord. The Bible says, looking in the mirror, that I behold him and are changed, right? Into his image. Good grief, we got like 3 minutes remaining. I'm going to have to just start. Next week, y'all just going to have to, we're going to have to start where I got to go. Instead of all of this catching up. 1733 says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Talking about your natural life. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect. Remember, we done been over this a couple of times. You hear they'll do something they shouldn't do or whatever. And well, nobody's perfect. That is an excuse to okay whatever you did or did not do. Because he says here, the disciple is not above his master, talking about Jesus, but everyone that is what? Perfect shall be what? As his master. I'm never going to be greater than him. But according to this, I'm called to be like him. He goes on and he says, I wrote this down. When we got born again, we received his nature. And he told me this Friday. He said, now I want you to put on my character. I got born again. I have the nature of God. But how many knows I don't have to walk in the character of God? That's a big problem that a lot of us are not doing. According to Romans 8:29, says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Talking about Jesus Christ. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 through 49, it talks about how that we have bore the image of the earthly, talking about Adam. He says, but then we will bear the image of the sun, talking about Jesus. How many knows, we, just as the moon reflects the sun's light, and that's the light the moon has, we are to be reflecting the light of Christ in us. He is our light, right? The Bible says that he is the light, and that light was the life of men, over in John. Now, I looked up the word Christian, and we're going to have to stop with this. A lot of times nowadays you say the word Christian, and people don't even know what that means. Christian in the Greek, it says follower of Christ. Christian in the Webster's Dictionary, it said a believer. That would be a start, wouldn't it? And follower of the teachings of Jesus. The Holman's Bible Dictionary said an adherent of Christ, one committed to Christ, a follower of Christ. Acts 11:26 is the first place that people was called Christians. Acts 4:13, the Bible talks about how that Peter, I believe it was Peter and John, they got locked up, you know, arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus there in the book of Acts and all that. And they told him, you know, you can't preach no more in this name and all of that stuff and everything. And the Bible says that they recognized that they was ignorant and unlearned men. It said, but they take notice they've been with Jesus. Why? Because when you hang out with him, everybody can tell. I'm talking about when you hang out with him at church, when you hang out with him in prayer. How many knows I'm not supposed to just be talking to God? Me and him supposed to have a fellowship that when I go to my place of communion with him, that me and him have a oneness, a fellowship of spirit, and I'm changed every time. That's not supposed to just happen on Sunday, right? And that word perfect there, it talks about in 2 Chronicles 16:7-9. It says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the earth, looking for somebody, for God to show himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is perfect for the Lord. Now that word perfect don't necessarily mean you got everything perfect, flawless in the flesh. I looked it up, and in that particular verse, it says complete, full, made, ready. Another place it said entire, integrity, truth. Another one it said blameless. Another one it said wholehearted. That's what he's talking about. That's why he says that you got to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you realize when you do that, you're like that? The flesh and the devil, there's nothing they can do with you. Jesus said, the wicked one cometh, but he has no place in me. See, when I have these things of the flesh, it's kind of like handles on a pot for the devil. He can get me whenever he wants to. But how many knows if there's no handles there, he's going to have a hard time doing anything with me or you. I've got to stop because actually we're